Thank you.
Jesus, Jesus, all sufficient, beyond telling is thy worth. In thy name lie greater treasures than the riches found on earth. Such abundance is my portion with my God. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. In thy gracious face there's beauty far surpassing everything. Found in all the earth's great wonders, mortal I have ever seen. Rose of Sharon, thou thyself art heaven's delight. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell.
Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen.
Amen.
And know the Lord has something special for you. Turn your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Luke, chapter 17. Luke, the 17th chapter. And I want you to look for the 5th verse, and that's where we'll start. Amen. We're just going to read verses 5 and 6. Don't yell at me. You're taking it out of context. No, I'm not. Don't do that to me. We'll discuss that later. And the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we do love you. We thank you for this day that you have given to us. Thank you for those that have come out tonight. I pray, dear God, that you'll do a work in their hearts, and I just ask, dear God, that you'd use this old preacher one more time, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. This afternoon I was up there in the famed prophet's chamber, and I was reading, and this message came to my heart. So, Brother Tracy, I'm sorry, I told you I was going to preach something else today, tonight, but God got in the way, let's put it that way. You know? But anyhow, I really believe with all my heart, now probably all of us need this message, so don't take this wrong, but there's somebody that's here tonight. God knew who was going to be here before, you know, we came. You can't limit God. He knows what's going on. And I really believe somebody needs this message tonight. And maybe it's me. I don't know. But the fact of the matter is this, that we come to the Lord like the apostles and say, Lord, increase our faith. I've heard it so many times, oh, if only I had the faith to do this or that. If only I had enough faith. How many times have you heard somebody say, oh, I would like to have a stronger faith, strengthen my faith, over and over again. I've been at this for 40 years, and boy, I've heard so much about people that they lack the faith to accomplish this, and they lack the faith to accomplish that. I want, you know what? Now, I've never, I guess maybe I have, but I can't remember it, but I've never actually seen a grain of mustard seed, but it must be pretty small. And so, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, that doesn't sound like a great faith to me. That's pretty small. Now, I don't know of too many people that want to uproot a tree and have it planted in the sea. Maybe there's some trees in your yard you'd like to get rid of. But I want to tell you something. If we had just a small grain of faith, some great things could be the result. So I want to ask the question tonight, how's your faith? And I want to give you four faith nuggets tonight. I'll preach quick. We'll be done. Maybe. We'll be done a little bit. Four faith nuggets tonight, all right? And I believe that there's something here for you, all right? Number one, how to increase our faith. How do I strengthen my faith? Well, four faith nuggets. Number one, meditate on God's Word. Meditate on God's Word. Now listen to me real close now. This is so profound that it will shock you. You will be in awe after I make this statement. It's not original with me. I don't know who I can give credit to. But it goes something like this. You know, when we pray, we're talking to God. When we read and meditate in the Word of God, we're listening to God. God's talking to us. Folks, too many times we stress prayer. Don't stone me. But I don't think we can overstress Bible reading. The Bible is so important to us. It's vital that we get into the Word of God and study it. Oh, I know all of that. I've heard it over and over again. I've read the Bible through. I've read certain passages. You know, all of the things you've heard through the years. I've read this, I've read that. You know what? We enjoy reading books about the Bible more than we do reading the Bible. We read all of these books and we enjoy them so much and we glean so much from them. But yet we don't seem to grow as Christians and our faith isn't expanded because we haven't got into the actual Word of God and studied the Word of God. Romans chapter 10 verse 17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now you say, well, that's hearing it. That's hearing it. Well, open your Bible and listen to God. He's talking to us. And the Word of God, He's talking to us. And by the way, do you understand that as we get into the Word of God, that it guarantees us certain things? And you know what? We as Christians kind of skip over all of the promises concerning getting into the Word of God. I remember how many years ago it was we talked about hiding the Word of God in our heart and people started memorizing. You still doing that with 3x5 cards? Some people may be. Well, Romans 10:17 is a good one to add to that list. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. I want to show you some others that's good. Look, if you will, over in the book of Joshua. I believe it's Joshua. Yeah, it's Joshua. Joshua chapter 1. And notice what it says here in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. It says, this book of the law. What is the book of the law? It's the Bible. It's the Bible that Joshua knew. It wasn't quite as big as we have today, but it was the Bible he knew. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. That doesn't mean he wouldn't talk about it. But that means he's going to meditate on it. Notice it says, shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Well, that takes up a lot of time. How many of us have spent this day meditating on the Word of God? How many of us spent last night meditating on the Word of God? How many of us really spend time in meditation on the Word of God at all? And let God speak to us through His book? You know, so many times we say, well, I have faith. I believe this book from cover to cover. But yet, do we believe the book from cover to cover when we don't meditate on the Word of God? I know people that claim to have been saved for years and years and years that have never read the Word of God. The only Word of God they ever get is when they come, and sometimes on Sunday morning, and they hear the preacher read from the book. That's it. They've got a Bible, but it's drawing dust someplace. They've got a Bible, but it's got roses in it. They've got a Bible, but it never is open to be studied and meditated on. Now it says here, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all what that is written therein. Are we determined that we're going to do all that is written therein? Notice what it says then. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Lord, I'd sure like to have my faith increased. He says, here's a Bible. Start reading. Determine that you're going to obey it. And as you obey, I'll give you good success. You'll be prosperous in the way. Now, he's not talking about riches and increasing your monetary worth or your land that you own. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about spiritual success. Being a man and a woman of God. Accomplishing what God wants in your life. Look, if you will, in the book of Psalms. The first Psalm. And notice what it says over here. Good stuff, by the way. It says in Psalm 1 and verse 2. Well, let's start in verse 1. It just kind of goes together. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the way in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Now, we've determined the law of the Lord to be the Word of God, the Bible, okay, the law of the Lord. And in His law doth He meditate day and night. Oh, come on. We're not on that again, are we? Meditate day and night. And notice what it says in verse 3, and He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth His fruit in His season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever He doeth shall prosper. You see, if we meditate in the Word of God and let God speak to us through His Word, we're going to become fruitful. And we will actually go green. Not the way the world wants to go green, but our leaf won't turn brown. It'll be a green leaf in the middle of winter. You know, we had a tree. I don't know what kind of tree it was. I never discovered what kind of tree it was. But we lived down in Springfield, Missouri, where I went to Bible school. And it was right outside of our, we lived in a mobile home, right outside our mobile home. And the tree never, it was green all, it wasn't a pine tree. It was just a tree. It was green all year round. I couldn't understand it. In the springtime, the green leaves would fall on, they brand new leaves would come on it. And it was always green. I never took the time to ask, what kind of tree is that? And so everybody looked at it and said, well, isn't that a pretty tree? Yeah, it's a pretty tree. It's green in the middle of winter. Christmas time, we had a Christmas tree that wasn't a pine tree. But you know what? We can do that as Christians. If we start listening to the Lord as we meditate on the Word of God, we can be fruitful when others aren't fruitful. We can accomplish things that others can't accomplish. Our faith will grow. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And our faith will be strengthened. I mean to tell you, we can be the true people of faith if we just get into the Word of God and meditate therein. The Word of God is vital for your faith. It's vital. Number two. Look in the book of Psalms, if you will, the 66th Psalm. Psalm 66. Oh, I guess we were in Psalms. I was trying to go past it. Psalm 66. And the next one is, maintain a right heart. Maintain a right heart. I want to show you here in Psalm 66 and verse 18. I know you know these things. I'm not giving you anything new tonight. But so many times we struggle with our faith and we wonder why it doesn't seem like we're growing. I want to help you in that tonight. I want to help me in that. And first of all, we meditate on God's Word. Then we maintain a right heart. Look at what it says here in Psalm 66, verse 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Folks, if I just regard iniquity in my heart, If I have those idols in my heart that Ezekiel talks about. Matter of fact, Ezekiel chapter 14 talks about those idols that these supposedly spiritual men that were the leaders of the nation of Israel, and they had those idols in their heart. They hadn't built idols. They were in their heart. But yet, so many Christians have those idols in their heart. We've replaced God with an idol. And too many times those idols that we have in our heart, that's the iniquity that's in our heart, have replaced God, and we're worshiping that by, you know, we don't fall to our knees, we don't pray to it, but yet we obey it. Every time that idol speaks to us in our conscience saying, you know, you ought to do this or that. And, you know, think about it. I don't know what it may be in your life. I'm not going to list all the things that you could have in your heart. I can't do that tonight. But the thing of it is, it's like when I get up in the morning and I try to get up early and I pray. I spend time in prayer and Bible meditation and I try to let God speak to me. But there's always something going on trying to get me to do something different. That idol that I've got seems to be more important than the things of God. You know, like when we're home, the idol, I don't know what it might be. It might be that cup of coffee down at McDonald's. You know, I don't know. We don't have a Dunkin' Donuts, so the only thing we've got in our town's McDonald's. Sad as that may sound. But the idol calls me. Wants me to do something else. I know it happens to you. And if we obey the idol, you know what happens? That idol gets stronger. Next time it speaks to you, it won't take so long to get you to do what it wants you to do. Every time you obey the idol, it gets strong. Folks, if I regard iniquity in my heart, I can fall on my knees and ask God to do something special, and God's not listening because I've listened to the idol too many times. I haven't confessed the idol. I haven't got it out of my life. There's too many sins that I've regarded in my life. There's too many things that have happened in my life. God's not listening anymore. It's sad to say. Folks, how many Christians can come in tonight and say, just doesn't seem like God's listening to my prayer? How many times have you heard that? As a pastor and as an evangelist, I've heard it so many times. Just doesn't seem like God listens anymore. You know what they're doing? They're telling on themselves because they've got this sin in their life and they're not willing to confess it and they're not willing to get right with God. Look, if you will, over here in Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah chapter 59. I'll let Isaiah do some preaching for a minute. But notice what it says down here in Isaiah chapter 59. We'll start in verse 1. It says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. I guarantee you, God can hear. It's not that he's in need of a hearing aid. He can hear. The problem doesn't lie with God. Mark it down. God wants to hear from you. But things have to change in your life for Him to listen. Notice what it says in verse 2. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear. It's not that He cannot hear. He will not hear. Why? What's because of all that junk in my life? That I've allowed to creep into my life and become more important than the things of God. The things that have taken me away from my Bible study. The things that have taken me away from my prayer time. The things that have taken me away from my church life. And the things that I need to be doing for the Lord. The things that have taken me away and made me too busy to speak to somebody on the street about their soul. I've become too obsessed with other things. And now He will not hear. Because I've regarded that iniquity in my heart and allowed that to take over my life. Look at verse 3. For your hands are defiled with blood. Preacher, that's not me. And your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Whoa. Wait a minute. It's getting closer to home now. Your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. Two times he mentioned lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. Well, I think he hit us right there. The fact of the matter is, it's not because God can't hear. He can. It's because of all the junk in our life that He will not hear. I don't know why I can't grow in my faith. Why can't I grow as a Christian? Confess your sin. The Bible says if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's what we need to start with tonight is the confession. I know we're not a Catholic church, so let's don't go to a little box called a confessional. We don't need to do that, but we got an altar where we can start and get down on our knees and cry out to God and ask God to forgive us our sins. And Lord, forgive the sin that I don't know is sin, that I'm holding on to. Help me to recognize it as sin and help me to get it out of my life. If my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then I'll hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Look, if you will, over here in the book of Acts. The book of Acts. And go to Acts chapter 8. There's a great revival going on here in Acts chapter 8. And it's good stuff what we read here. Boy, I tell you what, I'd like to read the whole chapter, but I'm not going to. But the fact of the matter is, boy, there's some really great things going on. And Philip is in the middle of this. He's the evangelist doing the preaching. People are getting saved right and left. And there's a guy by the name of Simon that gets saved. Now, somebody said, well, I'm not so sure he got saved. I think he did get saved. But we're not going to argue about it, okay? So let's not argue about it. But the fact of the matter is, I do believe he got saved. But I want you to look down here in verse 18. Now, Simon had a problem, and he didn't get rid of all the sin in his life. And he still had this thing about making money. He wanted that money became the important part of his life. And notice down here in verse 18, and when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. See, it was a part, he was wanting to make money out of it. It was his ultimate goal, okay, that he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter, in verse 20, now, you know what, Peter? Peter didn't hem-haw around about this. And he didn't flower it over. He didn't worry about offending Simon. And it's too many times we're so worried today about offending somebody. Did you know, preacher, that you offended so-and-so? I did. Yeah. Preacher, they'll probably never come back to church. I'm sorry, I didn't, you know. No, it's just the Word of God that offends people. People get offended easily, especially in this day and age that we live in. But notice it says, but Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. Verse 21, thy heart is not right. Repent. Repent. Simon needed to repent, and there's a lot of Christians that need to repent. Got a lot of things going on in our lives that are more important than what God wants going on in our life. We wonder why we can't grow in our faith, why we can't grow as Christians. Well, we're hindering that because of the junk that we allow to take over in our life. Some Christians are more concerned about sports than they are about the things of God. Honestly, I know some pastors that will not have revivals when Monday night football's on. because Monday night football is more important than preaching of God's word. I know of churches that shut down on Super Bowl Sunday. I know of pastors that are more concerned about a basketball game than they are about church. Folks, I had an uncle, I believe it, no, a cousin, that was an Assembly God pastor, and he thought more about playing basketball with the Iowa Hawkeyes. He used to go down and practice with the Iowa Hawkeyes, and he thought more about that than he did church. What did you preach last Sunday? Oh, I didn't have time to come up with a message. I spent too much time down at the gym. What? No wonder we can't grow. Our faith can't grow. It's no wonder we can't stretch our faith. It's no wonder great things aren't happening today. Don't think that's just an Assembly of God pastor. That's Baptist pastors. That's people that sit in the congregation. That's people that should be growing leaps and bounds, but they're not. Maintain a right heart. Get the junk out. A right heart's vital. Number three. Look, if you will, in the book of James. The book of James. And go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Number 3. Meet difficulties head on. Don't run from difficulties. Meet difficulties head on. I want to show you here. Note what it says. Look in James chapter 1, down here in verses 2 and 3. It says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, or testings, or trials." Verse 3. "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." Down here in verse 12. "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." Now, let's stop for just a minute and think about this. The trying of your faith. You know what the trying of your faith is? That's an exercise. It's an exercise. I'm going to get in that in a minute, but give me a minute. Okay. The trying of your faith. Folks, I know preachers that were in a good church that ran from situations that came up in the church. Let me just say something. If you're in a church where great things are happening, Satan doesn't like it. And so he's going to stir up something. I guarantee you, Satan's going to fight you. But what happens is there's too many preachers that'll jump to another church because the problems that have been created in the church they're in, they think that going to another church, they're not going to have those problems. Here's the problem. The problem follows them. And they find out the things that were happening here are happening there too. You can't run from problems. The problems follow you. You can't get away from tough situations. Tough situations are part of life. And if you're a Christian, there's tougher situations. Now, when you got saved, if somebody said to you, "All your problems are over," they lied to you. Because all your problems weren't over the moment you got saved. Matter of fact, probably a lot of problems started the moment you got saved. And you know something? If you get saved, all of a sudden a lot of the friends that you used to have aren't your friends anymore. You find out that people will reject what you've done. You're what? Oh, you got religion? No, I got Jesus. But they don't want to hear that. You got religion. So you think you're a goody two-shoes now. You're better than I am. And so they'll have nothing to do with you because you won't go to the places you used to go to. So your problems are just beginning. And then more problems come along because you are a Christian that you wouldn't have had out in the world. That doesn't mean that people out in the world don't have problems. They do. But they have problems that are connected with just being a human being. Now, as a Christian, you have problems connected with you for being a human being and being a Christian. So you got problems added to your problems. But the fact of the matter is this, you can't run from your problems. And here in James it tells us to look at them and count it all joy. Whoa, praise the Lord, I got somebody causing a problem. What? I've never heard a preacher say that. Oh, my goodness, I didn't think it had ever happened. But somebody's causing trouble in the church. Amen. I've heard about backdoor revivals. I've heard about kicking people out. I've heard about all kinds of things, but never facing the problem. Never facing the problem. Never going to the problem, trying to get things settled. Never going to the problem, praying. I had a wonderful mentor and the faith. And matter of fact, he was my pastor when I was a teenager. When I surrendered to preach, he put his arm around me. He said, "Now, I'm going to give you some advice. I've been at this for many years. I'm going to give you some advice. There's going to be trouble, but you got to face the trouble." He says, "Here's how you face the trouble. Keep your nose in the book and your knees on the floor." I'll never forget that conversation. Keep your nose in the book and your knees on the floor. Folks, I want you to understand something. What he meant was I need to keep meditating on the Word of God and praying, and God would work through every situation that came my way. Now, I hadn't always followed that advice. I had a way of letting things get to me. But the fact of the matter is that if I had listened to him, things would have been a lot easier. Folks, we can't exercise our faith if we don't work our faith. We have to work our faith. You know, I went to the doctor. And the doctor said, "You're a little overweight." He didn't say that. He said, "You're a lot overweight. And what you need to do is lose some weight." Now, here's, I'm going to tell you how to do that. And he gave me some food that I needed to be eating, a schedule of meals, and which I looked at and tossed away. And then he told me I needed to walk. He says, "Now, you won't lose a lot of weight walking, but it's exercise. You need to start doing something. Walk, walk, walk." He says, "Now, walk at least 30 minutes a day." Now, I did that for a while. I actually lost quite a bit of weight, 40 pounds, I think, when I started walking. But I had to exercise. You see, I didn't go on Weight Watchers and lose it. I didn't go the Nutrisystem route. I had to exercise. Now, if you're going to grow your faith, strengthen your faith, you've got to exercise it. You ever heard of the expression, "No pain, no gain"? Listen, if you don't ever face anything, any trials, any tribulations in your life, your faith is never going to get stretched. You're not going to know how to live through those problems. Listen, this world is a crazy world we're living in. And we've got to face the situations. We can't run from everything that comes our way. We've got to face the situations that come our way. We've got to exercise our faith. Now, hold your finger here. I think I'm coming back to it. Yeah, I am. Just hold your finger there. Or mark it. Go back here to the book of Acts with me. Acts chapter 24. And notice what it says here. This is the Apostle Paul. He's defending himself. And he's standing before a fellow by the name of Felix. And I won't read his whole defense, but I want to read one verse that really tells us about how Paul handled things. In verse 16, it says, "And herein," Acts 24, verse 16, "and herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men." What's he saying? He says, "I exercise my faith so I'll be right with God and I can be right with men." Now, that doesn't mean all men are going to agree with me. That's not what he's talking about. But he says, when I stand before the Lord, there's not going to be a man back there saying, "He did this and this and this to me." Listen, "I exercised my faith, so I'll be right with God and I'll be right with men. And when I stand before God, I have a good conscience." I wonder how many of us are stretching our faith with all the problems that are going on around us in that way. So when we stand before God, we're going to be right with God. By the way, it's His, it's Him that we want to be right with. All right. Meeting difficulties head on is vital. Then number four, we need to move out of the way and let God work. We need to move out of the way and let God work. Now, one of my favorite passages for that this particular thing is over in the book of Proverbs, chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Notice what it says here in verse 5. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. Trust in the Lord with part of your heart. Oh, that's not what it says. I've got an NIV. That's right. Okay. Now, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. There we go. I got it right this time. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. You know what that means? We get in the way of God. Too many times. How many times you prayed, Lord, I really need you to do something. And then when we get up off our knees, we say, well, I can fix this. I can do it this way and this way and this way. And all of a sudden, we're getting in the way of God. God wants to do something, but we've got it figured out. We can do it ourselves. Get out of His way. Get out of His way. Let God work. I want to show you something. Now remember these verses. This verse. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not to thine own understanding. Look back in the book of James. Now you marked it, didn't you? James chapter 1. Notice what it says here in James chapter 1 verse 17. It says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Now, every good what? Gift. And every perfect gift. It's not the things that we conjure up. It's not the things that we do. It's the thing that the Father gives us. And by the way, a gift is not necessarily earned. A gift isn't something that we work for. A gift is something that's given to us. We have a need. We go to the Lord, Lord, I have this need. And you know what? He gives it to us. You know, I've told you this many times, but when I was a kid, I was just a little bit ornery. And, you know, my Sunday school teachers didn't like me. They wanted to get rid of me. And I was not welcome at Sunday school. I'm going to put it that way. They wanted me out of Sunday school. But you know what? I still got Christmas gifts. I remember Mom saying to me right around Thanksgiving, what do you want for Christmas? And I'd say, oh, how about a motorcycle, a car? No, I didn't. I'd tell her what I wanted. One year I said, I want an electric train. You know, I was a brat. And I did not deserve an electric train. I honestly didn't deserve anything. But my mom and my dad loved me so much, they went and bought an electric train. And it was wrapped up under the tree. Now, I had an advantage over my brother and sister because, see, our house was too small for me to sleep in the room that they slept in, so I slept on the couch. That was my room. And I would pull that box over there and put my hand on it and sleep. But one night I said, you know what? I can find out what's in this box. So I waited until everybody was asleep. And I carefully got all the wrapping off of that and found out it was electric train. Wow. I couldn't wait for Christmas. I gotta be getting that electric train out. I'm gonna be, you know what? I couldn't get the paper quite right. You know, once you take paper off, it just doesn't fit quite right. And my mom knew I'd been in it. But she still loved me. She still loved me. She still gave it to me. My dad still fixed up that track, and we ran that electric train. Boy, we had a good time. But you know something? We pray to the Father, and there's many times we don't deserve what we're praying for. That's what grace and mercy is all about. We deserve the discipline and hand of God. And God gives us a perfect and beautiful gift. and answers our prayer. Folks, how are we going to stretch our faith? We go to the Father of Lights, asking for something we don't deserve. Then we praise Him when He gives it to us. Look, if you will, in the book of Romans, chapter 8. You thought I was done, didn't you? I'm not done. Romans chapter 8. And notice what it says down here in verse 28. It says, "And we know." You might underline that word "know." That's that you can know this for a fact. That's what it means. "That all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." Now, if you will, jump down to verses 31 and 32. It says, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things?" Get out of the way and let God give you the gift. Too many times we're trying to conjure it up and do it our way. Let God do it. The book of Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." My God is God the Father of lights, who only sends us good things, good gifts, and He wants to make it available to us. "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." The check is signed. It's being delivered. He can take care of us. Boy, I believe the Bible, preacher. I'm a believer. But yet we don't believe because we're always trying to do the work of God. That's the trouble with these folks that believe in easy believism. They're doing the work of the Holy Spirit. They're out there doing the work of God. Listen, doing the work of God is not replacing God. Going out there and letting God do what He does. Our responsibility is just to go. Beautiful are the feet, not the tongue, of those that publish the truth, the good news. Beautiful are the feet. In other words, you go out and do it and God will do the rest. Don't do the work of God. Moving out of the way and letting God do His work, it's vital. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Lord, increase our faith. Oh Lord, help us. Increase our faith. Just trust God. Let's stand very quietly. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Oh Lord, we love You. We just want to do Your will. We want to accomplish what You want to accomplish. I pray You'd work in our lives, Lord. Too many times we stand in Your way. Lord, help us to get out of the way so we can see the good gifts and the perfect gifts. So we can see You work in a mighty way. Help us to stop thinking we can accomplish it. Lord, I pray that You'd work in the heart of the one that's lost. Pray they'd get saved tonight. Pray You'd work in the heart of the one that wants to see their faith grow and strengthened. I pray that they'd come and just bow before You and confess their sin. Please, dear God, whatever it is that keeps us from seeing our faith grow and our prayers answered, I pray, dear God, that we'd get it settled tonight. Please do Your work, we ask. Holy Spirit of God, please, in Jesus' name, amen. Preacher.
Grab Songbook 208. It says, "Marvelous grace of our loving Lord." Let's sing that for our invitation tonight as we sing again. If God's dealt with your heart, we have an altar. Grace greater than our sin.
Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin.